Now, for the big thing, today's 5 at 5 is always brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Adam, as Brain would say, fire when ready.
I will fire. A little background here. So last night, I've never watched Breaking Bad. I've never watched it.
Okay.
I've heard some people say it's a great show, you got to watch it, and I'm sure it is. And, you know, Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, seems like a cool guy. I'd never watched it. So I'm on Twitter the other day, and somebody tweets a link to a fan film. It is the entire series of Breaking Bad edited down into a two-hour movie. So I watched that because they were looking for somebody who had never seen the show just to watch this movie and tell them what they thought, see how it played out. So I watched it. It was incredible. It was a really, I mean, it started kind of rough because you're having to cram a whole bunch of backstory into a few minutes. Okay. But once they really got going and just focused on some major character arcs, it was a really cool way to kind of experience that show I'd never seen before. I knew some of, it was, there weren't spoilers because I knew a lot of the big things that happened. So it was just kind of cool to experience it that way. So my question for you to start off today, what TV series or film franchise would have been better as one movie?
That is a great question. I'm almost disappointed I've never thought of that in all the years I've been doing this, which is not that long, but I think that's phenomenal. One of the best I've ever heard. If there was one show I could condense into a two-hour movie or a film series which I could do that with, a couple come right off the bat. Blacklist was the show I was watching for a while. If you know, people don't know, it's a show on NBC. It's like this CIA, FBI are working with this criminal.
Right.
It's an awesome show, but I just got bored. I got really bored, and if I could watch it all in a movie, I think it'd be awesome because it kind of fills the best of everything. Crime, drama, just different, so many different things that it encapsulates. So I could probably do Blacklist. Another show, I wouldn't even say House of Cards because I love House of Cards so much that I'd much rather watch each episode, but I think Blacklist would be number one probably for me and the shows that I'd want to condense. I think some of the other shows that I could think of, like I loved Friends, and maybe Friends is a girly show, but I loved Friends. But I would watch the whole thing, Friends. I actually really liked West Wing, but that got to be too long for me. A lot of shows by the third or fourth season, I'm just done.
Yeah.
My attention span has gotten away from me, and I get bored, and I want to watch another show. Like the last show I watched beginning to end was The Sopranos, and I loved it.
Mm.
But that I was kind of sick, so like I was home for a little while just watching. So that was something that I would probably say Blacklist because that was a show I enjoyed, but it got to be a little too long and it got weird. You know, sometimes the fourth or fifth season, it just gets odd.
Yes.
That's kind of how Blacklist was for me. Even though one of my buddies still watches and loves it and tells me I need to watch it again. So I'll say Blacklist.
Did you ever see Baywatch Nights?
I did not.
Okay. Baywatch Nights is a prime example of what you're talking about here, where something just gets weird. The first season of Baywatch Nights was about David Hasselhoff's character starting a private detective agency. Which, you know, interesting concept, whatever. The second season, it turned into like a Baywatch X-Files.
So it just completely shifted from what
completely
the...
It just got really weird.
I don't really want a spinoff either. Like, I hate shows that then try to have a spinoff, but make it relatable enough where you feel
right.
Like it has a connection, but then they try to throw you into this whole other show.
Yes.
To just... I don't want that. So
yes.
The answer is probably Blacklist. What about... Is there a show for you that you would say... I mean, you watched Breaking Bad in a two-hour movie. You really
right.
liked it.
I think it was great.
I've never watched Breaking Bad either, so that would be something that... Because I watched an episode or two, and it was too slow for me right off the bat. And everybody said, just wait. You'll have to kind of see it through, and by the end of season one, beginning of season two. But to me, if I have to wait a whole season for something to get good, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right? So I might need to check out this movie and just kind of watch it in 2 hours.
Yeah, I think that's... I think Blacklist is a great example. You know, I loved Lost... And I think there was a lot of great mystery there. They did a good job with some things, but there are also some storylines that were just complete waste of time. So I think Lost is one show that it may not work as one movie, but I think it could have benefited
It could be a series of movies.
Right. It could have been a film franchise, maybe. I think the same thing you could say for The Walking Dead. I think that was one that if you were to condense The Walking Dead and maybe make each season one movie, which I know is kind of departing from my own question here, but I think that would be maybe a better way to handle that particular property than this kind of stretched out, extended, because it's a graphic novel that they're trying to extend these graphic novels into whole seasons of TV, and it feels like it's one of those things that just is getting way too stretched out. So anything that's been really just stretched a little too thin may benefit from a little condensing. And the thing that I noticed, like the Breaking Bad series, the Breaking Bad movie that I watched last night, the thing I noticed was that there were certain images that I saw that I think in the series would have just kind of washed over as not being all that important. But the fact that they came in much closer proximity to each other, they were much more powerful images the way the story was being told in a more condensed format.
That makes sense. Well, you connected.
Exactly.
The dots connected where it wasn't 3 weeks later I'm seeing this image and I don't even remember what happened with
exactly.
that picture before.
For years.
Right.
Years later. So I think that was a really interesting way to go. But to move on from there, our next question, and this is one that I'm really intrigued by. Why did the Riley Ridley marijuana story seem to blow over so quickly?
We didn't get to that at all. So I like the question because I thought about it a lot. Smoking marijuana and getting caught for it and getting in trouble is ridiculous. That's just how I feel about it. I think if a lot of people who are listening at one point in your life, you probably smoked marijuana. If you go to any college campus, there are a lot of people smoking marijuana. The fact that at Georgia, athletes who do it get in trouble for it right off the bat, to me, is utterly ridiculous. Now, with that being said, the rules are in place, and you have to abide by those. And you know what you're getting yourself into, right? I mean, we talk year after year. That's a hot topic, whether it's here, Atlanta Radio, and the Southeast. Georgia's harsher penalties when it comes to different offenses. And it seems like with drugs, you should miss with the offense that he got, you'll miss one game, I think is what is in the student handbook.
Right.
So the thing that's scarier to me about the situation, to answer your initial question, I think it's because it was smoking marijuana and it wasn't a DUI. There was really nobody else affected. There was another girl in the car, but it didn't seem like her life was in danger. It's a crime that you're not hurting anybody else, at least in the instance in which he did it was not, first off. Secondly, the thing that scares me more, and I've seen people talk about this, is the fact that he said, I'm an athlete. Is there somebody I can call to let this blow over? And that, to me, is scarier.
That
because,
is scary.
Look, again, I don't think you should be getting in trouble for smoking weed. Tons of college kids are doing it. Go check. I mean, it's not hard to find, but it's more scary to think that you feel like you're above the law to the point where you do get caught. It almost reminds me of the JT Barrett when he gets pulled over and he's like, I'm the Ohio State quarterback. Can you just let me off? It's a bad lesson in life to tell people that they're above the law. And we do it with tons of people.
Sure.
Look, whether it's – there are kids that I coached in middle school, and they're not smoking weed, but if you feel like this kid, you know, you need him for your game, it's like, you think you can just maybe get by with this test? We really need you.
Yeah.
Right, your parents want to see you out because you're not making the grades. Well, we got a big game Thursday, and again, school is the most important thing. But as a coach, you kind of feel like, man, I want this kid out there because he helps my team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's scarier though when you hear a college kid saying, "I'm a wide receiver for the University of Georgia football team. Is there any way we can just call somebody? We can make this go away." Look, if you're going to get caught, man up to it, own it, get in trouble, face a penalty, and move on and learn from it. And I think it's a learning moment, right? I mean, he's now going into a sophomore year. He's been on campus for about a year now. I think it's stupid to get penalized for this. But again, the rules are in place, which you know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like somebody said, you can do this, and then all of a sudden they tell you, oh, I was lying. That's actually an offense that you could
right.
be arrested for.
Right.
So I think the reason it blows over is because the egregiousness of it is not very egregious.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I think it also, a big part of it is probably the changing attitudes about marijuana in the country and even locally here. You're still seeing, there's still some tension about it, but it does seem that the attitudes are changing. But the thing to me, I think what you're saying about, you know, trying to get it to blow over, trying to push the thing out of the way, I think that was the wrong response. But I think also the fact is that even though there are certain states that are changing the laws, the NCAA has not changed their position. It is still an NCAA violation. And the thing, like you said, they know that going in. So to me, that's another one of those situations where you've got a player who is putting themselves and their own desire ahead of their teammates. I get that you may think it doesn't make sense. You can disagree with it. I get that. Write a petition. Make a formal statement and say you don't think this makes sense. Don't put yourself ahead of your teammates by saying, this is what I'm going to do, so I'm going to do it. Who cares what the consequences are?
I'm with you 100%
And that's
there.
Like, you know what? We could debate the merits or disadvantages of using marijuana all day long. It almost doesn't matter at this point, because what matters is the fact that it is an NCAA violation. He knew that. He did it anyway. And he put himself ahead of his team by doing so.
Yeah.
That's really kind of what rubs me the wrong way. But even the thing, like, I just do find it very interesting that it seems to have gone over so quickly. It came out Saturday. there's been very little discussion. There hasn't been really the funny thing to me is there haven't even been any Mark Richt's lost control of the Bulldogs jokes. Like, those has persisted for a long time, even after Richt was gone. And they were just jokes, but they persisted. You haven't even seen any of those. So it's just interesting to me that this whole thing really, it's almost like it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think some of it also is it's a time where, and I guess this maybe even validates your point even more, is that there's not a lot going on, so you would feel like you would hear more about it because there's no football being played where we can kind of brush it under the rug and say, let's get ready for Florida, right?
Right.
But I also think it's in the off season. It seems like this off season has been a slower one in regards to arrests and different violations of rules from the team, so you feel good about that.
Yeah.
Where on the week of spring break in Athens, the only act that took place was Riley Ridley getting arrested for smoking marijuana, which, again, we can argue whether or not that should be a violation of any rules, but it doesn't matter because it is currently, and you understand that and you need to abide by the rules. Just like I know it's illegal to speed, and when I speed, I put myself in jeopardy of getting a ticket.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the same. Not necessarily
how
comparing
dare
marijuana,
you speed.
But it's the same. I know what the law is, and I know what the rules are, and sometimes I don't follow it, and sometimes I do. Depends. So you have to be careful, and you have to be smart about what you're doing.
Right.
And I'm not going to get super upset about Riley Ridley smoking marijuana. I just am upset that he wasn't smarter about what he was doing with it, where he was, because he had it in his car.
Right.
And the fact that he felt he was above the law, which scares me more to the mindset of a player. And the sad thing is, around here, I'd be hard-pressed to find people if we start to do really well and, you know, Georgia's 11-2 year in and year out or 12-2, whatever. That was kind of the thing with Richt. It was like, he's just a nice guy. These guys get second chances, whatever. You know, there's a lot of – he wasn't the disciplinarian people wanted him to be, but then at the same time, the University of Georgia seemed to put on harsher punishment for acts where you looked across the SEC, and sometimes it'd be like at Alabama, you'd hear these horror stories of guys doing things – AKA last year when the offensive lineman Cam Robinson, who's now going to be drafted, had a gun and was smoking weed in a car, got caught, and then he didn't face any penalty.
Right.
So, again, it's a school-to-school thing, but you got to know that when you come to the University of Georgia, that is something you're going to have to deal with. It's more scary to me, the response that he had, own up to it, which I think he did own up to it, but at the same time, he felt like he could get rid of the charge by saying he was on the football team, which is
right.
Scarier to me about
what's
the
scary,
mindset.
What's scary is that's the kind of thing that gets people to ask questions. That's the kind of thing that the NCAA looks at and says, whoa, do we need to take a look at this? Is this something that's going on? Because I don't think it is. I think that the Athens-Clark County Police and other surrounding police departments have actually done a pretty thorough job of prosecuting football players, whether you like it or not. They have, and that's their job. But, yeah, that's just the kind of thing that can get people to ask questions. Going to move on here. I want to ask, do you put any stock whatsoever into spring training baseball results?
None. None at all. The only thing that would scare me is the potential of if a Dansby Swanson is hitting like 0.95, like if he's hit, you know, I mean that like under 100, that would scare me.
Right.
But I'd have to really look at it deeper. So the short answer is no. And a longer, more winded answer, I would say it would have to be like a case by case basis. But for the most part, I don't really think, especially record. To me, it'd
right.
be more the individual player would I would have. I'd be more intrigued and more scared about what their results were. If the Braves are 1-11, I don't care. If Dansby Swanson's sitting 350. If Nick Markakis is struggling, that's fine. Nick Markakis, to me, is not a piece of the long-term puzzle for the Braves. So it's who is struggling or who is doing well would be the bigger question for me because the young guys are playing well. If Mike Foltynewicz is pitching well, I'm excited about it. I mm-hmm. also heard an interesting story about him where he got into an altercation with a guy at a Chick-fil-A. This guy wanted his autograph. He said no. The guy was upset about it, and they seemed to get in some kind of screaming match, and then the police were called. Nonetheless, those things would be like, that would worry me a little bit more. Again, maybe he was just having a bad day, didn't want to sign the guy's autograph. He has every right to do that. But on the field, as far as on-field results go, I don't care what the team's record is. If they were in every game and they lost 6-5, one run in games, it doesn't matter. Even if they got
right.
blown out, I don't care.
The only thing to me is like when I look at some of these blowout games, the thing that bothers me about spring training is that's it maybe not quite the same way as preseason football in the NFL where you get your veteran guys in there, your first-string guys in there a little bit, and then it's the younger guys. But there is a lot of that in preseason. You get some of your farm players up there. So what scares me is when you start seeing these kind of ridiculous results that the Braves have lost a lot of blowout games. in spring training. If the Braves are supposed to have one of the best farm programs in the country, do we feel like those results shouldn't be that way?
No, I think that's a very valid question. I'd have, again, something I'd have to look deeper into. I think some of it is you're talking about a lot of the probably position players who are affecting these results, right? And
right.
The position players seem to be the weaker area of our farm system where you're loaded up with pitchers, but it's not – there aren't four, five, six young bats that you feel super excited about. Again, they're players. Ozzie Albies, but he hasn't been playing because he's been hurt. The guy they got over in the trade from the Rangers, Travis Dimwright, he seems like somebody who's kind of coming along. But again, they've played split squad scrimmages also, so it's if our farm system is playing, I'd also have to look at who's the other team playing. You know,
that's true.
If it's the Mets starters versus our farm system, I'm fine with the Mets beating us. Even
right.
if it's the Mets farm system beating us, I don't think that's indicative of how much talent we have in the farm system, because every guy out there who knows anything about baseball knows far more than I do seem to say that the Braves are loaded, especially with pitchers. Again, with terms of hitting prospects or fielders, it seems like the Braves are a little bit weaker in that department but are getting better.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I remember reading a while back. I mentioned before I went to Decatur High School. One of the guys I actually graduated high school with, a guy named Shannon Wilkerson, ended up in the Red Sox organization. And they said he got called up to a spring training game where he got to actually pitch against some major league guys, and he was maybe a single or a double A player at the time, and you know, here he is pitching against all stars. And he was just talking about how cool of an experience that was in this article, but at the same time it's like, I'm barely out of high school, and I'm pitching against an MLB All-Star. Like, what do you expect to happen?
Right.
So it's just, yeah, I think that is a good comparison, that sometimes you're going to get young guys pitching against or trying to hit off of an All-Star or this 10-year MLB vet who's making millions of dollars. That's not going to be a fair fight. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good point there.
And the best part about it is it all doesn't count. So, look, if these guys can get good reps against solid pitchers or vice versa, these pitchers can get good reps against – you know, some of the better hitters in the league, I'm all for it. If you go 0-11, you go 11-0. I wouldn't put any stock in it either way.
Right. I think that's a good way to look at it. But moving on here, question number four, back to the NCAA tournament, which gets started tonight if you care about the first four, which, frankly, I don't. But if you do, it gets started tonight. Which single first-round game, as in round of 64, is most interesting to you?
Okay. I like that question. I've really liked all your questions so far. There's a
Thank
couple
you.
Of different angles I could go with this. One that sticks out is Northwestern Vanderbilt, because they'll have the highest IQ of any other game in the tournament, which I love.
Not to mention it comes right before the Princeton game.
That's right. And also that is a little intriguing to me. Vanderbilt, the first team with 15 losses as an at-large, and Northwestern
and
obviously
a nine
making
seed.
Right, and Northwestern obviously is making their first ever tournament appearance. That to me is an interesting one. Dayton, Wichita State, two of the better mid-major teams, so to speak. I think it's terrible that for Kentucky, Dayton, and Wichita State that they were paired in a group where one of those teams is going to have to play the other in the second round. That's the same as when Wichita State was a one seed, Kentucky was an eight seed, they played them in the second round. I think it's terrible to Wichita State. I think they're a team that, if you look at some of these different metrics, they're a top 10 or 15 team, and they're a 10 seed. It's utterly ridiculous. I think that's an intriguing game. I also like teams like a Creighton-Rhode Island matchup where it pits two teams that you don't hear as much about, so one of them will definitely get to the next round. As far as maybe some upsets go, I think the Orlando bracket of the UNC Wilmington, Florida, and East Tennessee State, East Tennessee State, Florida, and UNC Wilmington, Virginia, those seem to be upset picks that people like. So I know I gave you like a long-winded answer, and I gave you four or five games, but those are the ones that are most intriguing to me. I like Florida Gulf Coast, Florida State also.
Yeah.
A lot of people think Dunk City could be back as a 14 seed. They're also playing in Orlando. I think it's awesome when the tournament pits teams that are in the same state, like a Kentucky, Northern Kentucky. Look, these teams are never going to schedule one another in the regular season because the powerhouse team is too afraid of getting a big-time loss. So I think it's cool when you see it in the NCAA tournament, and for a Florida Gulf Coast and Florida State, you get to play in Orlando, so fans can be there. I think that's awesome.
I think that, yeah, I completely agree with you about that game. Getting to be close to home, getting to play each other, getting to be in Orlando for both of these programs. Although the one I don't, at the same time, I complain about Florida being in Orlando because, like, of course Florida gets to play close to home. It's Florida. Of course they get to do that. But it's Florida. We hate Florida. We don't care about Florida State. That's just how it goes. The single most interesting game to me is actually one of the ones that you picked out, is the Dayton-Wichita State game. And the reason I love it is because it feeds into this conspiracy theory that the NCAA is trying to kind of push out the mid-majors and keep their blue blood secure.
I don't think it's a conspiracy.
It is technically a conspiracy, but it's probably a true one in that regard. But it really plays into that idea, because you do have two teams that have made successful runs in the past, Dayton and Wichita State. They're going to knock each other off early, and then they're going to have to play Kentucky, who figures to actually be one of the good Kentucky teams, not one that's been unjustifiably seeded number two. So, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I love that game, because you do get the history there with both of those programs having been successful mid-majors. And then it does kind of play into this theory that people get to talk up, because I love a good conspiracy theory. I just think they're a lot of fun. And I think this is one case that you're right. It probably is. There probably is a grain of truth to that, that the NCAA paired these two teams saying, you know what, if we can prevent these two teams that have a chance of making a run, if we can prevent them from upsetting the brackets too much, then that's a good thing.
You want a little stat on that game?
Let's hear it.
Since 1979, when Dayton has been the higher seed or a single-digit seed, they're 0-3. So,
really?
Looks like Wichita State might be moving on to the second round to face off against Kentucky.
That is intriguing. Yeah. I love good historical stats. That is very intriguing. That's for me. The Dayton-Wichita State game kind of stands out. And last but not least, because of what day it is, I had to ask, what is your favorite obscure holiday? Of course, because today is?
Pi Day,
3.14, March 14th.
My favorite obscure holiday. I feel like now every day is a holiday in some respect, right? Like,
which is what makes it so great.
You know, like one day there's National Nacho Day, and another day it's National Donut Day. And so my favorite obscure holiday would probably be... I say like one of these will be my favorite, but I probably don't even celebrate, so that's the sad thing. It's like I love... Like National Margarita Day. That's a fun day probably, but I think that might have already passed, and I don't think I went out and got a margarita.
Wouldn't that be Cinco de Mayo?
No, two different things. You can have a lot of margaritas on Cinco de Mayo, and that I probably will be partaking in. But I would say I love nachos too, so whenever National Nacho Day is, like I made my sister nachos the other day. Now this was a pretty, like, you know, bad version of a nacho. I just had chips in my house and just put a bunch of shredded cheese and threw it in my microwave.
Hey, that's
fantastic. I wouldn't say that's nachos supreme, but it was good nonetheless. So maybe I'll go with National Nacho Day. I have to imagine that's a day.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Okay.
I read a very interesting article a while back. Apparently, one of the reasons there's so many of these like national food days is because this one guy decided he wanted to just get out a calendar and chart all the like national food days he knew of, and found there's really not that many. So he started contacting companies about making national food days in order to help promote their products. And so this one guy is like got an industry around creating new holidays.
That's pretty cool.
That's one of those, like, if you want to just write your own ticket, that's how you do it right there. You just make up holidays, and you have a monopoly on that market. No one else is going to do that. You've got it.
Tomorrow could be National Bald Day, and, you know, all the people who are bald can just celebrate and bask in it.
Yeah, and then the next day, Rogaine can make a ton of money on it.
See, look, you're a genius. See, you said earlier you're not a genius. I am having a hard time believing that. What would your national holiday...
To be honest with you, my favorite one isn't even all that obscure, but it's Flag Day. I just love Flag Day because it's just so...
Okay.
It's right there in the shadow of July 4th, and it's like... They're two completely separate days, but I don't even know how many people realize that Flag Day is a thing. And it's always on June 14th, which is even better because if you get... Every few years, you get that perfect weekend where you get Friday, June 13th, which is a special day if you're a horror movie fan.
Right.
And then Flag Day, Saturday, June 14th. That's like the perfect weekend right there. Every few years, you get that.
Okay.
It's just a wonderful weekend to enjoy.
I actually changed my mind on my favorite holiday, I think. This is not obscure at all, but now that I think about it, since I started working, Labor Day has probably been, because you always had that Monday off, and it's the first weekend of the college football season.
That's a good point.
So accompanied all together, I think it's pretty awesome, because... When I was in school, it was just like a Monday that we didn't have to go to class.
Right.
But that's not a huge deal. But then when you start working, and again, we don't dig ditches. This is an awesome job, so I'm not trying to complain. But it's always nice when you're just like, okay, everybody has a three-day weekend. All my friends have a three-day weekend. You know, we can do something Saturday night. We can do something Sunday night. There's football all day. That, to me, is probably kind of the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. That's what it all symbolizes to me. So Labor Day might be, and again, it's not overly obscure. It's not obscure at all, actually, because it happens every year and everybody knows about it. But that's probably my favorite.
I like that pick, honestly. Because Labor Day, the thing about Labor Day, when you're a kid in school, it's right there at the beginning of the year. So like you're just barely getting used to being back in school. So an extra day off just doesn't have the same impact.
And if you're in the north, that's like that's the end of the summer.
Yes.
I mean, you're not even in school at that point.
Probably
That's probably a Saturday, because that's the last week. That's like the end of the summer completely,
right,
for you.
Right. So in the South, where we start school a little early, because guess what? We don't have to deal with as much snow as y'all do. You're right. That's just a little bit after school has started. But you're right. When you're an adult, you're in the working world, and you don't get 3 months off during the summer, that extra little day there to enjoy a bit of summer on your own is pretty sweet.
Oh, it's awesome. And then when like Memorial Day comes around, you're like, oh my God. And like Memorial Day to Labor Day, that's the summer. And then you feel, you know, when Memorial Day comes around, you're like, oh man, this is awesome. Beginning of the summer, and then Labor Day hits, and you go, man, where did the time go? And now, right. But at least you have football. That's the thing. We were talking about this at the beginning of the show. We'll end the show this way. Again, that was the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a solution, more than a system, a solution.